Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The waiting is the hardest part. The motif of waiting on God is major in Scripture and was rendered famous in English literature by John Milton's sonnet on his blindness. They also serve who only stand and wait. A large number of Scripture passages command waiting, and they fall into five main usages, from passive waiting to a general waiting that becomes part of life's fabric. Think back with me over the last few weeks. In these last weeks before this first week of Advent, we have heard about the separation of the sheep and the goats, which I must say makes me a tiny bit nervous since I'm a Capricorn. We've learned about the owner entrusting his property in the form of talents to his slaves, and we've heard about the virgins, some a little wise and some a little foolish. In each of these stories, some of the people make the cut, and the other who don't don't do so well. The ones who don't make the cut have been unprepared, displeasing their masters, neglecting others. So with this reading, we've upped the ante, haven't we? We are commanded to wait and be at the ready with full knowledge now of what happens when we aren't. Today's passage seems to take all of the biblical ideas of waiting and create a mashup of them. We start with the passive waiting. For about the day and the hour, no one knows. It is associated with patience, resignation, submission, dependence, and contentment with a less than ideal current state. And hopefully, every day, we see one more card in the hand held by the Maker, just like the coming of summer is indicated by the leafing of the fig tree. Then there is a type of waiting where waiting is an implied withholding of human exertion, where the waiting becomes a venture of faith, a trust in God rather than human means. We take it on faith, for only the Father knows the day and the hour. The third motif of waiting for God is with hope and expectancy. We take it to the heart as we await the return of the master of the house. The fourth casts waiting for God in the second coming, as is clear from today's gospel. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Finally, the last distinguished motif is so general, as I said, it leaves one with the picture of an entire life of faith. This is on par with being God-fearing. This isn't being terrified of or by God, but having knowledge of God through intimate relationship. Fear of God is a quality of those who have experiential knowledge of God. It is having saving faith in God. It is linked to wisdom and part of the covenant between God and his people. It is to be in awe and reverence of God and to trust in him. Despite the fact that the biblical motif of waiting is a strongly positive image that is considered a virtue, the modern world has made waiting seem tedious and weak because we are people of action, are we not? Think of the different forms that waiting takes in our lives. I know I've said all of these things I'm going to say out loud. And believe me, this list is not exhaustive. I can't wait until I'm old enough to wear contacts, drive, vote, fill in the blank. I can't wait until I'm done with school so that I can go to work. I can't wait until vacation. I can't wait until I'm promoted. I can't wait until I feel better so that I can get back to living my life. And friends, I've got to admit, these are illustrative of maybe my furtive waiting during my first 30 years of life. I could go through 25 more years, but we would be here all day. Implicit in our modern concept of waiting is a discontent with who we are, where we are, as we await the next best thing. And as Christians, we believe in a life beyond the one that we have here, and we're promised that it will be better. So perhaps it isn't too difficult to buy into a sense of discontent in this life, knowing that the next will be better. But just as we have been given the gift of redemption in Christ's selfless act, we have been given the gift of time in this place, to create a relationship with God and with one another. We have been given the gift of time in order to keep awake. We have been given the gift of Christ as a human being, one who is just like us, knowing neither the time nor the hour. But he committed himself to the work that the Father sent him to do. I guess the question that we must ask ourselves is, what work did God send us to do? And what will aid us to beware and be alert and avoid the metaphoric sleep? The waiting is the hardest part, and time keeps flowing like a river. What do we do with the gift of time that God has given us? Time is more precious than all of the riches in the world. Why do we sometimes spend it in ways that lull us to sleep? How do we use it to stay awake? Today we embark on the season of the year that is filled with expectation and preparation for the incarnation of our Lord, as well as the return of Christ as judge at the end of time. Perhaps those of you who are old enough, I am, can remember when the color of Advent was a penitential purple rather than the Marian blue that is more symbolic of the incarnation of Christ as human. That's the gift of this season, the incarnation of Christ as human. What do we do as we wait for this gift? My plan's simple. I am looking to the fifth motif of waiting for God as a general way of to live, and thinking of these days of preparation for the Adventus of Christ as a sort of Sabbath. Just like waiting, there are several biblical motifs for the Sabbath, and if you recall, a lot of the disagreements between Jesus and the leaders and a lot of tussles happened because of their different ideas about Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day on which decisive or controversial events happened in the lives of Jesus and the apostles. Perhaps it can make a difference for us as well. The Sabbath motif I want to consider during this Advent is one that is surrounded by sanctity, the aura of sanctity in time, all time, time here, time out there. It is a time set apart from the ordinary. The Sabbath is a day of doing good as well as a day of worship and cessation from ordinary work. It is a time during which important things could and should happen to us. Now, I'm not talking about not coming into work during Advent. I think that would be frowned upon since I'm a priest. What I'm talking about is taking this period of time and reorienting myself as best I can by taking my attention off of daily workaday preoccupations with getting and spending, especially during the frantic holiday season, and onto God and spiritual realities. Perhaps you'll consider joining me on this leap of faith, and maybe we might change our lives just a tiny bit by living intentionally into God during these days of Advent. This rest in God is a form of freedom. It is rest from human striving and acquisitiveness and worldly preoccupations. Most importantly, it is a sign of commitment to God and resting in God that is indicative of a freedom from anxiety, of daily worrying, of daily stress. Thomas Merton wrote, "Only save me from myself. Save me from my own private, poisonous urge to change everything, to act without reason, to move for movement's sake, to unsettle everything you have ordained. Let me rest in your will and be silent. Then the light of your joy will warm my life. Its fire will burn in my heart and shine for your glory. This is what I live for." As we unwrap ourselves as gifts to God through praying, loving, and serving, it will be easier for us to unwrap the gifts that God has given us. If we are fortunate, perhaps this Sabbath taking will become a habit over time, and we always will feel the sanctity of every wild and precious moment that we walk this earth, all the while waiting and all the while wide awake. Amen.